What's up? Welcome to the Eric Anders Lang Show, everybody. Happy to have you as my esteemed colleagues and guests over here. Congratulations, obviously, goes to Shane Lowry. Very excited to, be able to support him. It was an interesting finish there because I'm the first person to say that I don't really care who wins, but I want it to be close. That's the biggest thing for me. And before this Open, traveling through Northern Ireland and playing a lot of golf and seeing Portrush in the I was in the fescue, if you will. You know, my thought really was that I just want someone a hometown gent to take home the claret jug. And so it was a funny Sunday, right, to watch basically this large ginger just basically show up, walk around for 4 hours, and go home with it without much competition there. The interesting thing was that, you know, the course, and I think, you know, even for those out there that haven't played it, which I'm guessing is the majority, you still have this sense of impending doom. And it kind of goes to Padraig's tweet. I don't know if you saw Padraig Harrington's tweet, but he said it's basically easier to play it than it is to watch it on TV because you have this sense of impending doom around the corner of every, you know, shot, because I think on TV you're sort of just, I think the announcers obviously do a good job of creating suspense, kind of like when you watch the news, it's like every sort of rainstorm is a tsunami. Obviously not making light of tsunamis. Let's not get overboard here. Overboard. That was not a pun. That was just stream of consciousness. Anyway, you know, another interesting takeaway for me was that if you're sort of pining away thinking, oh, I wish I had gone to Portrush, or I would love to visit all these major sites. And I mean, certainly as a patron going to Augusta National and just seeing the sheer size of the golf course and hearing the way that the cheers from all the, you know, good shots echo throughout the course. On some level, not going to the course maintains an element of mystery and fantasy. And I remember now looking back on Darren Clark's win at Royal St. George's, Rory at Lytham, and even St. Andrews before I had ever visited, you know, these courses on television, you fill in the blanks, and it's almost like reading a book. You know, when you read a book and, you're encouraged to use your visual imagination as opposed to a film where they basically fill in all the blanks for you. So kind of, you know, I hope this doesn't sound bad, but like I almost was wishing I had never been to Portrush. It would almost be interesting to go after the round. Now, of course, this is, you know, probably not shared by many, but it was an interesting observation I had about the experience. You know, obviously everyone's talked about Portrush now until they're out of breath for the past week. You know, we had the chance to play there with a group of colleagues, Rick Shields, Brody Smith, Connor Moore, Alexandra O'Loughlin was there from Golf Channel, obviously. You may be familiar with her work. A bunch of others, Iona Steven and Dan Walker from Sky Sports. A bunch of other greats, and we got to play the course in pretty sick weather. Like, it was Sunday weather. Like, we had the wind, we had the rain, we had the cold. And that experience we put out on YouTube, so you've probably seen that already. I'm pretty proud of that 15-minute video. We brought out the good cameras for that one. And, got a little personality in there. You know, we don't do the course flyover. We don't get into yardages. But, we got the feel for the course and the feel for the people that were playing it. So that was fun. That kicked off basically a 4.5-week trip that, that was spread through Ireland, Scotland, Norway, France, back to Scotland, and then back to Ireland. So I'll kind of spend, you know, most of this podcast digging through that trip and some of the takeaways and some of the experiences now that we've spent our 5 minutes going over the Open. But at the end of this podcast, if I can come up with it, I'm going to do a giveaway. I've got this all this merch that I bought at Royal County Down. because I'm a big fan of Billy Dratty, who makes some great shirts. B. Dratty, out of New York, not Long Island. And anyway, he's a wonderful friend. And so they had his shirts there in the pro shop. So I bought two, and I wasn't really thinking of doing a giveaway. I just bought two because I liked them. But I thought, you know, I love kind of getting people involved. So you know, I'll give away one of the shirts after this at the end. And I think I'll do like a little question, and then I think you go back to the Instagram, because I don't really know how to do all this, but I think if you go over to my Instagram and post the answer to this obscure question that I haven't really come up with yet, then you could be the owner. Hopefully you're a medium, or you know someone that's a medium. And if you don't want the medium, I can give you a hat. You know, you can trade it up, because I got a real Kenny Down hat. But I'm going to have a swig of coffee. Just hang on one sec. All right, so first up is Northern Ireland versus Ireland. Now, I may be a total noob here, but having dropped out of high school and really not fulfilling much college education, my political world map is a bit gray. It's a bit unfilled in. So having visited Ireland 2 years ago with my parents and my brother, I really only – we played Waterville, we played Tralee, Lahinch, Ballybunion, Dukes, Hogshead, Cork, Old Head, and you know, we went up and played County Sligo. We played I can't remember the last one. It was kind of a sleeper hit that everybody loves. Little Dunes course back in the inland area of up there in the north. And we landed in Dublin and drove out and drove in and drove out. So I didn't go to Northern Ireland, and at the time, I was kind of learning about the difference, right? I didn't realize they're two different countries, you know, and I learned all that. And the interesting thing about traveling is that you learn in a way that's sort of, it's not, you can't really read an essay on it. You can't really, you know, you can't just sort of get briefed. The information that you obtain from traveling, and I'm sure that you know this already, if I'm assuming that you like to travel, if you are watching what we're doing over here. But, you know, anyway, being in Ireland, hearing about Northern Ireland, all I knew then was that there was a wall. There was a lot of problems that a small percentage of the population was creating for a larger percentage of the population, and it had to do with religion. So, but in the end, I'm still walking away from Ireland thinking, geez, Northern Ireland's a dangerous place, even in the year 2017, which is when I was there. Don't go to Northern Ireland. Don't want to drive to Northern Ireland. And no one had said that, but that's sort of the takeaway that, you know, I mean, Americans, we, I think, have a propensity for catastrophizing reality, you know, and especially in a political climate, you know, we kind of deal with borders a lot. And, you know, it's just sort of, the news is always trying to fear-based suck you in. So, you know, I'm in Ireland and I'm thinking it's the same thing. But anyway, so we travel through Ireland. And then the exciting thing about this trip is that I only went to Northern Ireland. We flew into Belfast. We went up to Portrush. We stayed there. We stayed in a little town called Port Ballantrae, which was, 15 minutes down the road. Stayed in a beautiful little hotel. And immediately saw that Northern Ireland was very similar to Ireland, right? I mean, it's not that different, really, you know. Politically, governmentally, it's the UK. So Ireland is its own country, and Northern Ireland is part of the UK, so Scotland and England. You know, there was a whole uproar, I think. I actually don't know. I wasn't there. But, you know, Rory McIlroy is from Northern Ireland, along with Graham McDowell. Shane Lowry's from the Republic of Ireland. You know, I apologize if this is very boring. You can fast forward. But you know, Rory decided to play in the Olympics, not for Northern Ireland, but for Ireland as a whole. And, you know, then there's this Irish Golf Association, the IGA. And then Rory later decided to play for I think in the Olympics next, he's going to represent Northern Ireland. In any event, you see that there's this divide, and I guess what I'm getting at is, from a 3D standpoint in visiting there, I saw no divide. I saw the same wonderful group of friendly and welcoming people that I saw in Ireland, that I did in Northern Ireland. The courses, you know, I mean, someone asked me if I can compare the differences. I mean, man, each course is like completely unique. I mean, I could go to, Lost Farm in Tasmania. And if you had me blindfolded and didn't give me an accent, I would probably think we're in Ireland, right? Or Scotland. I mean, the Irish golf is different from the Scottish golf in the sense that there are, you know, it's bigger dunes typically. But anyway, it was cool to hear Shane Lowry, as he was being interviewed after winning the Open, saying that this is good for Ireland as a whole. And you heard the Golf Channel commentators not calling it Northern Ireland as much as calling it the island of Ireland, the Emerald Isle. And, you know, in hopes to unify and simplify the golfing community there and hopefully the community as a whole. I mean, I've said it a billion times, but the idea that you carry a card as a golfer invites you to be a member of one sort of nation under one sort of rule book. And I think that's the most beautiful thing about golf is that no matter what your differences are, obviously golf is, you know, pretty separated on many lines, right? Financially, politically, so many different lines. You could find a way to separate yourself from it. And I did for 30 years, and that was sort of what kept me from playing golf, probably. Dropping those beliefs is what allowed me to play golf and ultimately fall in love with it. And I think that's probably why one of my biggest sort of themes is the inclusivity of the game and how it doesn't really matter what you believe in outside of the following of the small white ball. So, talking about Northern Ireland, you know, basically played Royal Portrush, played Royal County Down, and played Royal Belfast, played the only three royal courses in Northern Ireland, and there's only one more royal course in the Emerald Isle. Notice I didn't say the Republic of Ireland, is Royal Dublin. So I haven't played Royal Dublin yet. I can't wait. I'm excited to go back to Ireland. Real quick, if you haven't been to Ireland and Scotland, the way I would separate Ireland and Scotland really is that Scotland is, I think, about five times bigger in population. It's probably two or three times bigger in land mass. You know, Scotland is, it's a bit more, I don't want to say it's better for tourists, but it is, there are more tourists in Scotland. It's a little bit more understood to be the home of golf in some ways. But what you're going to get in Ireland that you're kind of not going to get in Scotland is this village environment. There are much smaller towns, and you will see fewer tourists. And the golf is, you know, it's hard to compare, right? I mean, you're really looking at apples and oranges. The truth is you kind of need to do both. Irish Lynx is definitely a bit bolder, I would say, especially as you get into the back nine of Ballybunion or the back nine of Tralee. You're really faced with some. I mean, Waterville could be the best course in the world, I'm sure. But anyway, we're talking about Northern Ireland, Eric. Get back on track. Drink that coffee. Happy Monday, everybody. What a great, the last major of the year is over. Wow, it's kind of tragic. How do we have to wait until April? Why do they compress them so much? We're going to try to do a break 90 at the Tour Championship at Eastlake. That would be rad. I feel like that's my day. You know, the rough, got that Kikuyu. You know, I know the course. I played it a couple times. I think I shot 80 there, my first time I played there. It was also the first pro golf tournament I ever went to. First person I ever saw swing a club was Adam Scott. And I was like, wow, Tiger Woods, 2002, nice swing. So anyway, Northern Ireland. Played Royal Belfast, kind of is up there for me. You know, I'm not a course rater. I don't know how to rate courses. I look at experience mostly as the primary gauge of my, you know, memories, right? And Royal Belfast was definitely the highlight of the trip. Greeted by such wonderfully kind people. We had lunch with the captain and spent some time with the secretary and all the old boys up there in the jacket and tie room. And it was just so low key, you know, and then went out and played golf. It was beautiful weather. Obviously, that helped. Played well. There was a little match going on in the afternoon, and just a really wonderful course that kind of winds its way through the it's not a lynx course, right? It winds its way through the hills in the trees, and then it kind of opens up onto the bay, which is I think it's the Bay of Belfast or this Belfast Sea or something. I don't really remember. North Irish Sea or something. I don't really know. But it's a bay. And, you know, if you squinted, you might think you're in San Francisco. But, you know, we try not to squint too much out there. And, but it was just a great experience. It was a really beautiful course, and the layout was intriguing. Royal County Down, I mean, that was a course that I looked forward to almost as long as I had looked forward to Royal Dornick. So in some sense, I was a bit set up for failure. I don't know if you remember my experience at Royal Dornick, but, you know, I'm the guy that looks for the road less traveled. And so when I show up to a course that I've dreamed about and a chopper full of douchey Americans lands and they raid the fucking pro shop, I'm like, why am I here? I don't need to go on the ride. I'm not here to go to Disneyland. I'm here to find a real experience. I want something else. I'm the guy that makes adventures in golf. I can't just show up to fucking, you know, as I'm saying it, it's not true. You know, I mean, I'm the biggest hypocrite out there. The point of adventures in golf is that everywhere you go, if you look at it properly, is you can have that experience wherever it is. Obviously, I would point to Askernish to talk about the true experience of adventures in golf. But anyway, Royal Dornick got me down because I didn't want to show up to a course that was overrun by Americans. But we Americans get around, my guys. We roll all over this planet with clubs in tow. And that makes me proud, to be honest with you. I am obviously a proud American. I hope that comes through. If you're a man or a woman in the military, I will take my hat off to you any day, even if we're not on the 18th. But, you know, as a tourist and as a traveler and as a writer and as a journalist, as an experienced guy, you know, I'm not going to get in line, right? I don't like getting in line. If I'm going out to the club, I'm not going to get in line. And that's not an ego thing. It's just like, I don't really want to go where everyone else is going because that's kind of already happened. Obviously the old course you could point out, huge exception, right? That's Mecca. So let's drop that argument. Okay. That's a line you're proud to get in. Anyway, Royal County Down. Let's break it down. Let's break it Royal County Down. The place is nuts. Like, the first tee is the purest grass I've ever seen. There's beautiful little hedges. The place just has charm and quirk, unlike much I've ever seen. There's this kind of wrought iron fence with a rounded sign that says Royal County Down, and it looks like a cemetery, and it's just very beautiful. The first nine holes, obviously, anyone's going to tell you, are some of the best holes out there. Luckily, we were there with good weather, and you know, there's all these sort of the dunes are kind of painted with these like pink and purple, yellow, white flowers. The dunes are massive. Pretty much throughout the front nine, you really never see another hole as you're on one. I opened with a birdie, which was terrifying. You know how bad that is for me. I ended with a par. That was great. But, you know, the holes are very intricate and very interesting. And as old Tom would have it, a lot of blind shots. Probably feels a bit like La Hinch, but, you know, a bit. It's La Hinch with a bit more flair, it feels like. La Hinch is very subdued, and it's just like golf. Royal County Down it's a royal course, but that doesn't mean that it's fancy necessarily. Royal Portrush, I wouldn't call fancy. Royal Belfast is a bit fancier. The clubhouse there is stunning. It looks like a mansion in Montecito. Maybe Oprah rents it out when she visits Belfast, if she's ever been. Couldn't say. Maybe that's the trivia question. Has Oprah ever been to Royal Belfast? Honestly, no way to know. So we're going to leave that one behind. Royal County Down was just incredible. Also, we were on the seventh fairway or sixth or seventh fairway at Royal County Down. And I run into my I can't remember where we were. And I run into my boss from Scratch TV, Sam Rayburn. It was unplanned. He just happened to be out there playing golf, and we said hello and, you know, caught up on my to-do list, basically. Sam is coming up on his anniversary. Well, he's been there 8 months now with Scratch TV. So, you know, I hope he does well there. I've worked with a lot of different people over at Scratch TV, and we've seen success in a lot of different experiments that we've done together as far as golf content goes. We're working towards doing another hole-in-one challenge at a very special place, so that's going to be exciting when we can produce that. But yeah, Royal County Down has a great hotel that sits right next to it called the Slieve Donard, which is named after the mountain that sits sort of watching above the golf course on this wonderful point. And you know, Royal County Down really sits in this little category for me of golf courses that don't exploit. They don't exploit anything, right? Like it just is, and it's low-key in its maintainedness, right? So when I talk about exploitation, what I mean is, you know, when you land at Royal County Down, or when you pull up, you see a couple things immediately, right? One is you see this massive mountain that's like kind of 30 miles away. What the next is you see the ocean that kind of surrounds you, the Irish Sea. Then you see villages sprawling out for miles. And then you have these wonderful dunes. Those are the four characters, right, that make up the landscape of, you know, the surroundings of Royal County Down. But at no point does the golf course seek to exploit that viewpoint. It really just, the golf course exists in a sort of a low-key way. Obviously, when they built the course, they weren't moving any earth. There was no steam shovel. There were no bulldozers. It was done by hand, guaranteed. And, you know, so for that reason, the course just exists. And that's why there's a polarity between the ninth, the first nine and the second nine, is because you only had that dunes land for the first nine. The second nine kind of opens up and there's almost like a marsh or a bog. Crazy enough, I found out that Mirfield, Mir means a field of bog. So Mirfield literally means like bog field or something. We played Mirfield this trip. It was great. I might need to dig into Scotland on another episode here because we got, you know, we're already wearing down on the minutos. What else? Yeah, so County Down was incredible. It was peaceful. It was serene, and you know, it was just great. And Royal Belfast, Port Stewart, man, that another course where the front nine, you're just your jaw is, you have to bring a belt to put around your chin so that your jaw doesn't stay open. It was unbelievable. Elevation changes, green complexes, rolling, undulating fairways that were just fun to land on. A lot of four irons off the tee, you know, beautiful landscapes that you get to peek at. You're looking out over the water there with the town of Port Stewart right in front of you. Just a really, really wonderful layout there at Port Stewart. The layout was I found it to be a little bit easier than Portrush. I mean, that any area off the fairway at Portrush is basically water if you're an amateur, because you don't have help finding the ball. And I think I lost about 10 balls over there. And that was something to learn about and let go of as you sort of keep losing balls. Yeah, I mean, it was just fascinating. All right, we're gonna take a quick little break here. Pardon the ads. They do keep this podcast going. So thank you for supporting everybody who comes in to advertise on the podcast. I'll be right back. All right, everybody, Dollar Shave Club. When I talk about Dollar Shave Club, I can't stress enough about the quality of their products. Quality was underlined, italicized, and bolded, okay? Quality. I don't even know how you pronounce that. The quality of their products. That's probably not it. Quality. I'm talking quality, okay? They spent years developing, crafting, and refining everything that was just italicized, not bold or underlined. So that's a little different, okay? They have everything I use to look, feel, and smell my best. I love smelling good. I put the cologne on when? Before I go to bed, when I wake up, and when I leave the house. Because you know what a tour player does? They smell fantastic every time they whiff by you, okay? If you've ever been to a tour event, sniff those tour players. They don't mess around with anything other than the best, okay? Anyway, I don't know if they use Dollar Shave Club, but the point is, you name it, Dollar Shave Club's got it, and I use it. I've been using Dollar Shave. I've been a member of Dollar Shave Club for years. Please talk about your experiences using their products and how the quality is the best you've ever used. Well, I can't do that. But anyway, and as amazing as their shave stuff is, Dollar Shave Club is way more than just razors, okay? Dollar Shave Club has you covered from head to toe. Sounds kind of dangerous because we're talking about razors, but don't worry, it's safe as long as you're not an idiot. They have everything you need to shower, shave, style your hair, brush your teeth, and yes, wipe your butt. They use the word butt. I honestly want to use the word ass. I'm going to be totally upfront with you. I want to take it to the next level. They may never use me again for a read, but the point is, I'm being me, okay? You can always count on that. I'm never gonna do exactly what it says, okay? So you can count on me. If you hate these reads, that's fine. But if you kind of enjoy them, then that's what you're going to get. That's the benefit you're going to get. That's the risk I'm willing to take, okay? Dollar Shave Club can keep you automatically stocked up on the products you use. You get what you want whenever you need it. Now, that is a bold claim because what I want is more. I want a lot, okay? And I need it a lot. Whether that's once a month or a few times a year, I never have time to waste at a store. That's actually very true. I never go to the store. I always order everything online. So Dollar Shave Club, dial me up. Give me the things I need when I need it. Whoa, wait, you just told me you were going to do that. It's amazing. As a Dollar Shave Club member, I know what I'm getting is the highest quality. And right now, you can put the quality of Dollar Shave Club's products to the test. They're the best. It's the ultimate starter set. Basically, everything you need for an amazing shower, a close shave, or clean teeth. By the way, guys, you need all of those things, just to be totally clear. You can't show up on a date and not have had an amazing shower, a close shave, and clean teeth. You need those things, okay? So let Dollar Shave Club set you up on your next first date, or maybe it's your last date, because honestly, they're both just as important. You want that last date to almost be better than the first, because you want to go out swinging. That's the 18th, that's the 72nd hole. Go out strong with Dollar Shave Club on the final date. The best part is you can try each one for just $5. I finally read it right. After that, the restock box ships regular size products at regular prices. Get your ultimate starter set for just $5 at dollarshaveclub.com/Lang. Ooh, we're using my last name now. dollarshaveclub/Lang, L-A-N-G. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Lang. Everybody, go do it. I'm serious. Go do that. And you know what? Look clean. Feel good. Feel happy. That was a long read. All right, everybody. Twine. Are you saving for a summer vacation, a down payment, or building up an emergency fund? Emergency fund. I don't. I've never done that. I should probably do that. Start saving for the things that matter with Twine. We all have big things in the future we're saving towards, but it can be hard not to spend the money in your bank. Tell me about it, Kanye. Tell me about it. I spend that ish before I got it. Twine helps you put the money aside and actually save up for the things you care about, like golf balls, folks. With the Twine app, saving money towards your financial goals just got easier. Save with cash savings account or invest in a portfolio. Wow, a portfolio? I don't even know what a portfolio is. Customized for you based on your needs. And with the automatic deposits from your bank to Twine, you can set it, forget it, and save up without even trying. Literally, you don't have to try. Wait. How can I? Snowball, I need your Snowball, help me out here. I don't even know what's going on. No more temptation to spend that extra moolah. And did we mention that you get to share a goal with a partner and save together? That's right, folks. Let's partner up. That's teamwork. With Twine, you can save and invest for the things that matter to you. All it takes is $5 and 2 minutes. The only things I know that cost $5 and take 2 minutes? McDonald's? Right now, Twine is offering you $15 to help you save for your goals. Just go to twine.com/Eric. When you open your first goal, Twine will add $15 to your account. That's $15. Can go to twine.com/Eric. That's E-R-I-K. Start saving now with twine.com/Eric, everybody. All right, Precision Pro, everybody. A lot of you slip into the DMs over there, and you ask me what the best rangefinder is. The answer is, it's the Precision Pro. Now, I used to say it was the NX7, but not anymore. Precision Pro Golf is the makers of award-winning golf rangefinders. Literally award-winning, folks. Do not get the words twisted, okay? They save golfers strokes on the course and save dollars in the wallets. Because the truth is, the dollars should stay in the wallets. Well, I guess they're supposed to leave the wallet, but the point is you want them to leave as slowly as possible. So the point is, Precision Pro is excited to announce the all-new NX9. We didn't even mess with the NX8. We went straight to the 9. NX9 HD rangefinder, skipped the 8, straight over to the 9. I went from par to eagle like that, okay? Anyway, it's their most advanced rangefinder ever, with a wider and brighter display, I love things that are wider and brighter. It's an iPhone screen, whatever you want to call it, projector, I don't know, fairways, just give me something that's wider and brighter. It's delivers incredibly fast measurements. I can say from personal experience, that is true. There's also a built-in magnet. Oh, I love magnets too, that allows golfers to securely attach the NX9 to the cart or even an iron so that the rangefinder is always within reach for every single swing. You can pick up the all-new NX9 HD rangefinder for $20 off. All you got to do is use the promo code ERIK, that's E-R-I-K, on the website precisionprogolf.com. The NX9 HD comes with a lifetime battery replacement. Whoa! I need lifetime battery replacement. How annoying is it when you show up and your rangefinder's dead? Well, this one never dies, okay? It's like Liam Neeson in this bitch. Sorry, I didn't mean to curse. But anyway. The NX9 comes with a HD lifetime battery replacement services and a... Wow, I messed that up. I'm going to start over. The NX9 HD comes with a lifetime battery services replacement... Battery replacement services and a 2-year warranty. 2 years! You're not even going to live that long. This rangefinder is going to outlive you on all scales. Anyway, it's the NX9 and it's all part of the industry-leading customer service that Precision Pro Golf delivers to every customer. I have never heard a bad word about Precision Pro since I've been recommending it personally. So you heard it here first, folks. Get your $20 off the NX9 HD or any Precision Pro rangefinder that's great. Coupon code ERIK, E-R-I-K, at precisionprogolf.com. Last words, y'all. Swing with confidence. Hit more greens with Precision Pro Golf. All right. One more read, folks. Adidas. Over 5 million pieces of plastic are floating in our oceans, which... over time get broken down, making it easy for sea life to ingest, ultimately affecting our own food chain. So it is your problem. It's not just a world problem. It's you. It affects you. Adidas is working with Parley to prevent plastic entering our oceans and transform it into high-performance sportswear. Shoes is coming soon. Just hold on. Hold your hats, folks. I'm not even done with the ad. Stop trying to figure out what I'm going to say. Adidas is spinning the problem into what? A solution. The thread into a thread. I don't know what that means. It's written here. It says the thread into a thread. I don't know who wrote this. Adidas Golf is bringing eco innovation to the golf course in the form of a special edition shoe. All right, this is legit, actually. This is the first time the Parley shoe has been a golf shoe. I've had it in... form of a running shoe. I mean, look, it's a sick shoe that serves a purpose. Okay, that's where you get it. The Tour 360 XT Parley, the first ever golf shoe. Oh, look, they already wrote it for me. The first ever golf shoe made from recycled. Oh no, it's not called recycled. It's called upcycled. I don't know what that is. I feel like I should probably Google that. Upcycled plastic waste that was intercepted, like Jason Bourne from the beaches and coastal communities before reaching the ocean. Dang, I didn't realize this is Jason Bourne's golf shoe. Intercepted. I mean, I'm a golf guy, but I also love football. Who doesn't love a classic interception, especially when it's Jason Bourne saving planet Earth? Entire upper of the shoe is made with threads spun. It's also a DJ. Amazing. From the upcycled plastic waste. My phone's ringing. It's Andrew Marler. Hang on. All right. Well, that was a 20-minute phone call, but you have no idea. It just went by like that. Anyway, the Tour 360 XT Parley, the first ever golf shoe made from upcycled plastic. I already read this because it's got the intercepted line. Intercepted from beaches and coastal communities in a world before reaching the ocean. The entire upper of the shoe is made from thread spun from upcycled plastic waste. Built as the Tour 360 XT, you still get great traction and stability. I feel like, what's that line from Taken? I have a certain set of skills. They will take you. Available starting June 10th. At adidas.com, and for those headed to the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, a select number of pairs will be sold on site. Get into it, folks. All right, back to the show. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. over the break, I figured out my question to win a Royal County Down shirt. You ready for it? What is the... So there are 66 royal courses all over the world. Most of them are in the UK. What is the farthest away from St. Andrews? What golf course has royal distinction that is the farthest away from St. Andrews? That's the question. So go over to my Instagram post. There's a little video where I'm going to show you the shirt. You'll see it there. If it's not up by the time you watch this, by the time you hear this, if it's not up, just stand by. It'll be there soon. What is the royal course that is the furthest away from St. Andrews, Scotland? What else should we talk about? Mirfield, not a royal course. Interesting. Had the chance to play Mirfield. And the funny experience, so we were in Ireland, and then, the first part of Ireland, we focused on, you know, playing in the Open Links Invitational with the wonderful Paul Sutcliffe, set it up with the RNA, and then headed over to Scotland to make a film for the RNA. So wonderfully, they became a client of ours, and we produced a film about the history of the Open. So we filmed in St. Andrews, we filmed in Prestwick, we went over to Troon, and went to Portrush, and really covered, you know, the historic shots that make up the Open. What makes the Open so incredible is kind of the question we were trying to answer. And I'm, you know, that film will come out in due time. It's going to take a while to edit because it's not a vlog. It's more of a highly produced video, similar to what we did for the USGA, but obviously different because it's not in the U.S. So we went to Scotland and worked on that. Got a chance to play the old course again, which was great. It was the first round. Alexander and I played together in Scotland, which is a really great place to start. We played with a wonderful guy from the pro shop at the Jubilee. Shout out to Pfeiffer. That was great. He hit us up and said, let's play. And we were like, you know, Friday could work. He said, great, I got Friday. So we teed off at, I think, like 6 o'clock or something, came in at 10, you know, and just St. Andrews is such a magical, magical, magical place. If you've only got one pop, get over to St. Andrews and just play there and just find some other golf around there. You don't even have to play. You can just walk around. They got the Himalayas. They got this, just a wonderful setup for golf. You can find an Airbnb pretty cheap and just sort of crash out, take a bus or a boat, whatever you got to do. Make sure you get there. Go to Old Tom's Grave for sure. Talked a lot about in the film about Alan Robertson, who basically is the man who originated the Open Championship, maybe more so than Old Tom, because Alan Robertson's death, he was considered the best golfer. And so when he died, they needed to decipher who the best golfer is now. And that ultimately became the Open Championship. It started off with 8 players playing 3 rounds of 12 holes in one day. They played, I think, 2 rounds, had lunch, and played another round. And it was just a one-day banger. So we traveled through Scotland. And then we went over into the Isles of Scotland. We went down into the Isle of Arran, Isle of Arran. Went to the Mull of Kintyre. Went to Macrahanish and went to the Isle of called Isla, which is spelled Islay. Played a lot of great courses down there and did a lot of filming. So that'll be another little series that we'll put out probably in the late fall. We're just sort of backed up with videos. We've got Japan coming out pretty soon, I think this Friday. And then after that, we're going to start dropping New Zealand. And then Adventures in Golf comes out, hopefully. And then, it's just a... just a wonderful menu of content coming at you on YouTube. Ran through Scotland and then finished up Scotland. And me and the crew, David and Stuart, went over to Norway. Alexander went to Lahinch for the Irish Open, which looked like a blast. But we were up in Norway inside the Arctic Circle filming at Lofoten. You know, I'll save most of that story for when Adventures in Golf comes out. But that was an incredible experience of no darkness. You're so deep inside the 33rd degree north or something that there's just no sunset, which is actually pretty jarring. The first time we did it in Iceland, it was magical, but this time it was a bit insane. It was a bit too intense for me. And then went down to France and looked at some stuff down there, played a little course called Dunkirk. and it's a pretty interesting layout that's kind of unusual. Finally got a chance to hook up with the architect himself, Robert Berthet, and, you know, got a really insightful conversation with him on, you know, what goes into interesting design for architecture. And wonderful episode as well. So two episodes of Adventures in Golf in the can as we speak. And then flew back up to Scotland to take part in the Scottish Open. And that was a great time. Played in the Pro-Am with Brendan Stone. I should have done more filming there, to be honest with you, but I was just so tired that I just wanted to lay low. Got a chance to play Kilspindie with Tom Doak and Malcolm Duck, and Stuart was out there. And so Stuart got to meet the man who designed Cape Kidnappers, where Stuart had his hole-in-one. That'll be coming out probably in October or something, or September. I'm not really sure. But that episode is going to be lit. It's so cool to see Stuart be the subject of kind of, I think, two of my favorite vlogs that we've ever done. Cape Kidnappers is a beast. It's a breathtaking layout. It was just fantastic. So it was cool to meet Tom finally and talk about an Adventures in Golf episode that we're planning on doing at Forest Dunes up at the Loop. So we're going to head up there in early August. But that was great to powwow with him and, you know, just spend a little bit of time off. So played in the Scottish Open Pro-Am on that little Wednesday there and had a great time. It was a beautiful sunny day. I hit some great shots. I was a little bit sideways on my swing, but, you know, it's just all the travel and stuff. And then Thursday woke up and got to play Muirfield, which was really what I want to talk about for a second because, you know, the first thing I heard about Muirfield kind of was right around the time of the Open, I think, in 2015, when there was all the drama about the women's members. And certainly it's a relevant argument. But what happens with perception is you sort of perceive things not as they are. And, you know, I think a lot of people, I'm probably speaking out of turn, but I think a lot of people kind of come into Muirfield and you know, if you're a person who wants women to have the same rights as men in golf, you would probably go in there and sort of have a thought about it, right? But ultimately, they're just gents. They're just old guys that are all very nice, as far as I know, and all very interested in moving into the 21st century of golf and kind of moving out of the separation. So it was interesting to see that vanish as soon as I got there, and everyone was just super nice. And Muirfield shares the same thing as Royal County Down in the sense that it's not exploiting anything. I mean, strangely enough, you play Muirfield and you it's this literally this large field, and the holes have a wonderful routing. It's just a fascinating routing of crisscrossing, overlapping. The holes are, it's very hard to figure out what hole is the next hole from the green. You don't really know where to go for the tee. And actually what's interesting is from green, there's all these crazy pathways amongst the heather and you're wondering where all these pathways go. And it's for alternate shot, you know? So this is a two ball club, which means that foursomes play. So a foursome is four people playing two balls. So you're basically, you have a partner that basically waits in the fairway while you hit. They play in like 2.5 hours. We didn't get to play foursomes because we went on a Thursday, which is a four-ball day. But I can't wait to go back and play properly. But you basically spend more time in foursomes hanging out with your opponent than your partner because your partner's waiting in the fairway, and then you hit the tee shot, and then you walk up, and then you hit they hit the approach, and then you putt, you know, and vice versa. And you trade off on each hole of who hits the tee shot. But so there's all these pathways that take you directly from the green to the fairway as opposed to the tee box. But yeah, Muirfield was incredible. We had lunch over there. After the round, it was this massive lunch where you just sort of, it's kind of like a high-end cafeteria where you sit down, you go up and you get all the food you want. You come back, you sit down, you get up, the waiter takes your dirty plate, you get a new plate. The dessert was incredible. The coffee was great. Everyone was really sweet, so that was a really great experience as well, was to kind of dig in and look at this. And I mean, Muirfield has an incredible Open Championship history. I mean, you've got Phil, you've got Jack, you've got, Henry Colt, I can't remember actually. But just so many great Open champions have won there, and it's just an interesting layout. And the great thing about Muirfield that I think America has yet to adopt is, obviously, a very esteemed club, steeped in the history of the game, private, very hard to become a member. Yet anyone can go play there on Tuesday and Thursday. We were surrounded by groups from Germany and Japan, you know, without any reference to a member. They're just there unaccompanied. I mean, obviously, it's quite a couple hundred pounds to get out there. So, quote, anyone can play. You need to have a lot of money to be able to go out there and play. When you play with a member, actually, it's like $30 or something. So that's pretty ridiculous. But even still, it'd be great if the major venues in America were like forced to open their doors for the Monday leading up and after the open, the tournament, you know, like that would be so cool. Because I mean, again, that's the one thing about golf that I feel like really makes it special is when you can go visit these places and enjoy the experience for yourself. You know, Bethpage obviously has that. Chambers Bay had that. Whistling Straits, Pebble Beach. Obviously, Pebble's a little prohibitive as far as needing to get a hotel room, and it's, you know, it ends up being a $2,000 check by the time you're on the 18th green. But still, it is available, and you know, I don't like that it's only available to some, but you know, I would like to see that change and open up, you know, and just, you know, make it more possible. I mean, so it was cool to see Muirfield kind of have that mentality. And basically the structure is that the dues to be a member at Muirfield are like a couple hundred pounds a year. And the way that the club sustains its money is by guest play. So, you know, the problem is in America, it's the opposite, is that you pay, you know, 80 grand, 150 grand, you know, 50 grand to join a club, and no one else can ever play there. So it's super private, it's super exclusive, and it's super expensive for the members, so it's even more exclusive. Whereas at Muirfield, the members there aren't, you know, titans of society. They're merely just people from around the village. Obviously, they have some international members, but and that's the case with all the clubs over there. Gullin, you know, Royal Aberdeen, all these clubs are just regular golfers from the community. It's a golf course that serves the community that surrounds it. And, you know, America has squarely fucked that up. And, you know, I wish I could change it. I mean, I could talk about it till I'm blue in the face. But, you know, if you've got a high net worth, you don't give a shit what I'm saying. You just want no one at your course. You don't want any extra divots. You don't want to wait. And that's the American mentality, unfortunately, you know. So, you know, move to Scotland, move to Ireland. I'm considering it, to be honest with you. You know, that's kind of the coolest takeaway over there. And then scooted around back over to Northern Ireland. And the second trip to Northern Ireland on the toes of the Open there was when we got to play all the golf. So we played three great courses, made some vlogs. Those will come out probably after New Zealand. I don't even know, but that was a really good experience there to play some of the golf around Northern Ireland. I was considering staying longer and playing. I really wanted to play Ardglass, but I was just too tired. I had to go home. I was scheduled to come home on Friday of the Open, but I came home Wednesday. I was just burning out. And the truth is, for me, being at a tournament, while it is super fun, and if you were at the tournament and you said hi and we took a photo together, that was awesome. I really got to say thank you for that. You know, that nothing inspires me more than meeting someone who cares about what it's all about, what we do, which is obviously against the stream. So that's always a very special experience for me. But aside from that, I mean, I was just tired from all the running around, and, you know, I basically blame Norway for not having a sunset. That made it pretty hard. But, it was great. And Stuart was up there working for Golf Magazine, which was really cool. You know, and, I went to the tournament on, Tuesday and, did a little thing for the RNA on their social media channel over at 16 and, you know, just had a good time. And then basically I came home on Tuesday after working, and I went back to the hotel and I was like, I need to go home tomorrow. So luckily I called the airline. It was only like a couple $100 to change it. And I was like, I'm just going to go home in the morning. Got on the flight and, you know, some 20 hours later I was at home. Snowball was around. Got Snowball a haircut. Right, buddy? I don't think he likes getting his haircut. He should feel naked because he's got no hair. Anyway, yeah, I mean, so it was a wonderful trip, and now I'm back in LA for a week. And then the next one starts, folks. It doesn't stop. I'll be honest, I'm getting a little tired. I need a bit of a break. I need to hit the snooze button on the travel. The next one is going to be a diesel trip. I mean, it's actually going to be a bit nastier than the recent one. Go to France to have a little time off, a little vacation over there in Evian. Take about 5 days off. You know, that'll be really nice to just do nothing for a while. I'm going to download some movies, hit the pool, basically just check out. So if you're wondering why I'm not around, it's because I'm not around. It's because I'm just taking a day off. And then fly back to New York for Morgan Hoffman's event in New Jersey in advance of the Northern Trust. So that'll be really great. Love Morgan. Love, you know, really his strength through his difficult journey that he's been on. If you don't know about Morgan Hoffman, dial back in the podcast here. We did an interview with Morgan almost a year ago, and it could be up there with some of the most personal interviews that I've ever done. We couldn't stop. I think it went for an hour and a half. And young, great PGA Tour player, great swing, struggling with serious illness in his life. You know, a neurological disorder is sort of cutting away at his muscles. And, you know, continues to fight, continues to play, looking for a solution, devoting his life now to it. And so we're gonna go to his event and support him. And then we're going to shoot an Adventures in Golf in the Bronx up there at Van Cortlandt Park, which, if my memory serves me correctly, is the first municipal golf course in America, I want to say 1890 or so. So we're going to dig into that and the current state of golf in the metropolitan area of Manhattan. And then we zoom up to Tom Doak's episode in Michigan. And then we're going to cruise down to Atlanta, play Eastlake, get a little breaking 90 vlog. I think this is the one. I'm telling you, I think I can do it. Come in with an 88. Easy, right? I mean, just give me 16 bogeys. Give me 18 bogeys and two birds. You know what I mean? Like, I'm singing. I feel like we got it. It's all about the green speeds. It's all about the tee shots, really. It's just getting that ball in play. But I will say, this weekend I went over to Wilshire. You know, last four holes, I was one under over there. Three birdies on the day, just sinking putts from everywhere. Obviously, having a caddy that knows the reeds is the biggest thing, because I would have not made any of those birdie putts if it hadn't been for Scotty. What up, Scotty? Thank you, my man. So we're going to go down there to Eastlake and try to crush. And then we get on the big flight, the old 16-hour long haul. I think it's going to be an A330, folks. A little Airbus, little twin engine. Can you believe two little engines can get you across the Atlantic Ocean down to Johannesburg? I'm probably going to fly out of JFK. We're going to take a little short flight up to JFK because, you know, we only fly Star Alliance. I don't mess with that One World. I don't mess with that. I don't even know what the other one is. Star Alliance, One World, and what's the other one? What's the other alliance? That should have been the trivia question. Did you get your answer yet? Do you know what Royal Course is the farthest from St. Andrews? It's easy. Think about it. It's easy. Oh, and a second part of the question is, have I played it? Ooh, good one. That's a tough one, actually. You could find it out. What else? Yeah, and then as we fly into Johannesburg, I'm going to try to leave these episodes a little bit vague, but we're going to film, do a little safari golf in down in South Africa. And then we're going to head over to Mauritius. Obviously, you know where we're playing over there. Then we're going to go up to Cairo. I've been looking forward to going to Egypt for a long time. Hopefully we don't get kidnapped. Sorry if you're Egyptian and that offends you. You know, again, just fear factor. I'm just a fear factory. Afraid of bogeys, folks. And then head over to Morocco for a little bit. So Africa is a continent that I've wanted to go for so long that I'll finally get to visit. And we're going to visit four countries within this wonderful continent. And I think then my country list will be up to like 70 or something, which will be pretty amazing. Then hopefully we get some time off at the end in Morocco. And then I think we come back to LA for like 2 days there at the end of August, and then head up to Bandon and Pebble to do some videos for Golf Magazine. And then come home for a couple days, and then we go to Georgia to do some videos for TaylorMade with the none other than the a lot of the members of the top 10 players in the world. Jason Day, old Tiger Woods over there, Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy. That'll be really fun. We're going to take part in that shoot over there in Georgia. And then I think we get some time off. Oh, no, then we go to Portland for the Jones tournament. And then I think we get some time off. And then, yeah, head into October. Adventures in Golf will be out. Guys, I am future tripping over here. I'm going to shut up, guys. Have a great week. Hope to bring another check-in to you next weekend. Really appreciate your patience with the one pod a week. That was a valuable switch for me. I hope that it's brought you some good quality. I hope you've been enjoying the podcast. I really appreciate your support all around the board. If you want to get some merch, you know, head over to ericanderslang.com. We sell a lot of great little things over there. The Random Golf Club hat is obviously the go-to item. We got some pocket tees, and hopefully in the fall we're going to come out with some golf shirts and some hoodies. Random Golf Club all the way, everybody. Again, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for supporting our partners that we work with, Vice, Adidas, TaylorMade, Precision Pro, and Jones Golf Bags. So, you know, really appreciate everything, all the time, everywhere. Enjoy your round, wherever it may be. And remember Rule 17B. Please observe it. Laugh at the bad ones, and always, always roll on ace camp. Have a good one, everybody.